نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. I'm going to mention before you the meanings and understanding of four Quranic verses: Surah Ankabut, Surah Rum, Surah Luqman, and Surah Sajda. All four of them belonging to the fourth group of surahs of the Quran, and of course all four of them are Meccan surahs. Interestingly, all these four surahs begin with the beginning letters Alif Lam Mim, like was the case with Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran. In fact, these are the only six surahs of the Quran which begin with the beginning letters of Alif Lam Mim. That of course suggests that there is something common in the meanings and message of all these six surahs. As we saw in the case of the earlier four surahs of this group, this group of Quranic surahs, which comprises of eight Meccan surahs and just one Medan surah, this group talks about the prophethood, the fact that Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's mercy be on him, is the messenger of God, and the fact that those who are opposing his message of Quran are the ones who are doomed is what the focal point of all these surahs is. Surah Al-Ankabut is the first of these four surahs, and right at the beginning, it clarifies to those who believed in Prophet Muhammad, Allah's mercy be on him, that if they have believed in the message of God, then they should be prepared for the fact that they are going to be tested by the Almighty for him to know and to verify whether their belief and faith is correct, authentic, reliable or not. The Quran clarifies in Surah Al-Ankabut that this has been God Almighty's pattern all along. Whenever the companions of a messenger of God present themselves for being tested for their faith, the Almighty tests them. And according to the Quran, فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. And indeed the Almighty then verifies and finds out who are the people who are truthful in their claim of faith. وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. And he most certainly would find out who are the ones who are liars. The Quran in this surah goes on to clarify to those disbelievers who were inflicting their acts of persecution on the believing Muslims, that they should not think that they're going to be spared by the Almighty after what they have done to the Muslims. The Quran also clarifies to the believers that although they owe an obligation to their parents to be respectful to them, yet it is not the right of the parents to force their children to follow the wrong path. It is only in the area of taking care of the parents and of respect to them that the children are obliged. And the Quran goes on to clarify that nobody is going to shoulder the burden of sins of others. And if there are people who are suggesting to the Muslims, especially the young Muslims, that this is what's going to happen in the hereafter, then let it be clear to everyone that this claim is absolutely baseless. Surah Ankabut also clarifies that the Almighty had sent messengers from time to time to various nations, and all nations, by their majority, rejected their respective messengers, with the result that they were visited by natural calamities as punishment from the Almighty. Those natural calamities took one form or another, but they were all a form of punishment that the Almighty had inflicted on the earlier nations. The implication is very obvious that if it was true in the case of earlier nations, why would it not be true in the case of this nation, the people of Mecca, the people of Quraysh, who were visited by yet again another messenger of God? This surah also talks about the fact that the Muslims should extend invitation to the people of the book as well, thereby clarifying that the people of the book had already been introduced by the time this surah was revealed to the message of Islam. And the Quran says that they should be asked to look at the common aspects of the message so that the discussion begins with an understanding which does not cause people to unnecessarily conflict with each other. And the hope is that when we talk about areas of commonality amongst each other, we might proceed at great length to appreciating what the other group is saying. If you start your discussion and debate in confrontation and with in topics and subjects where there is considerable disagreement, friction, then the possibility that there would be any progress made in the debate and discussion would be the minimal. Surah Ankabut is followed by Surah Rum, which has a historical background to it when it was revealed. There were two superpowers, so to say, at the time when the Quran was being revealed. There were the Romans, the Roman Empire, and there was this Persian Empire. And it seemed that they were always in a tussle to decide as to which of the two is the more dominating of the forces, the powers. The Romans, they were Christians by the background of their religion, and therefore they were the ones who used to acknowledge and support the cause of monotheism, Tawheed. And thus, the affiliations of the Muslims was tilted towards the Romans, while the Persians were polytheists, and they were the ones who used to worship fire. They were Zoroastrians, and because of their polytheistic inclinations, the polytheists of Mecca had their emotions and affiliations tilted towards the Persians. It so happened that in one of the important battles fought not very far from Mecca, the Persians were able to overpower the Romans. And the news information came to Mecca, and there were jubilations amongst the people of Mecca, the polytheists, whereby they said that on the one hand, we, the polytheists of Mecca, are overpowering and causing pain and difficulties for the Muslims, the monotheists of Mecca. On the other hand, in the wider global scene, the polytheists Persians have been able to overpower the monotheist Romans. And therefore, that is what the norm of this world is. That is, polytheism would dominate monotheism. Of course, it was a very disheartening piece of information for the Muslims, who were as yet weak and few in number, and were all the time being troubled by the people who were polytheists, many of whom were either their masters or their parents, or people who were much stronger in their status and their strength compared to the weak Muslims. The Almighty began by saying in the surah that although it has happened that in a land close by, the Persians have been able to overpower the Romans, but this situation is going to change very soon, in a matter of a few years, when the Romans are going to dominate over the Persians. And when that is going to happen, it is going to be a cause of celebrations and joy for the Muslims. And it so happened that the day when the information of the victory of Romans came to the Muslims, they were doubly jubilant because of the fact that their fellow monotheists, the Romans, were able to have a decisive victory over the polytheist Persians, but also because of the fact that on the day when they received this information, they had themselves inflicted a very decisive punishment on the polytheists of Mecca in the Battle of Badr. And the Muslims they came out victors. After describing the first few verses, this historical background of what was happening at the time when this surah was revealed, the Quran goes on to mention the fact that this message is from God, and the people who are denying it are the ones who have their sight only focused on the exterior of this world. They do not have the ability to look deeper into the real meanings of this life, and they've got no ability to be able to imagine that there is going to be a life hereafter. The Quran refers to a number of signs of the Almighty that He has spread across all over the surroundings of us humans, within our own lives and the outside, in the outside world. He mentions the sign of the fact that we humans are born and are given to live in a way that we have partners who happen to be our pairs. We form pairs with each other. It is a sign in that the Almighty has enabled us to live and to continue to procreate, thus enabling humankind to continue to perpetuate its existence. There is also a sign in the different languages that the humans speak. Although they come to this world in a way that they do not apparently have the language given to them by birth, yet through their surroundings and through the strong yearning within themselves to express their own feelings, they are able to develop different languages in different regions through their process of cohabiting and living as families. And it in itself is really a sign of how the Almighty has given this tremendous ability to the humans to be able to express themselves and communicate with each other. Likewise, there is a sign in the manner the Almighty arranges rain to fall. There is a sign in the fact that He has created the heavens and the earth. There is a sign in the fact that He has created this world and is enabling it to be sustained. And yet the people, they do not believe and they do not pay heed to what the Almighty requires them to do. The Quran requires believers, good humans, to turn to God, their Creator, and to the religion which is the religion of nature, the religion which is as if a response to the inner feelings and the natural inclinations of humankind. Surah Rum is followed by Surah Luqman, which begins much the same way as Surah Al-Baqarah began, and goes on to mention that the people who are not interested in understanding the Quran, they are the ones who indulge in vain things, activities which distract you from understanding and concentrating on the real message of truth. And after having condemned those people, the Quran describes a few verses, a few signs of the Almighty, which if they were given proper attention, people wouldn't have ever required any further signs to prove that there is a God, to prove that there is to be a life hereafter, and to prove that the Almighty has been sending His messages to His messengers from time to time. The Quran thereafter in Surah Luqman mentions the fact that Luqman the wise was one of the prominent figures of his times, and he, through his wisdom and intelligence, was able to discover all those truths and facts which the messengers of God have also been presenting. Luqman was somebody who was highly respected by the people belonging to the area where he had lived, and the people of Arabia also had a lot of respect for him. And the Quran mentions the various different teachings that Luqman had given and taught his son, so as to show to the people of Mecca, the polytheists, that what they're doing is not just against what the messengers of God have mentioned, what they're doing is also against what Luqman, the wise man, the sage, the knowledgeable, he had taught and he had preached. For example, he taught his son to make sure that he does not get involved in shirk, polytheism. He mentioned to his son that he should ask people to follow what is correct and to stay away from what is bad and what is wrong, and to pray. And he mentioned and warned his son that when he's going to invite people towards the right path, people are not going to admire and appreciate his work. In fact, he's going to receive difficulties and problems on his way. And he therefore needs to be pre-warned that he will have to be patient. And to be patient, one really needs to be strong and to be dedicated to the cause for which he is pursuing the track, the path. Luqman also required his son to make sure that he remains humble, meek, and not be arrogant towards others, because arrogance are the people whom God Almighty dislikes. The surah also goes on to mention that God Almighty's information and knowledge and his works are so many that it would not be possible to write them down and to mention all that he has created and all that he is doing in volumes after volumes of books. Even if all the trees of the world are converted into pages and all the water of the oceans is converted into ink, and God's deeds and his works and his creation are mentioned therein, the ink is going to deplete and get exhausted, and yet the full story of God's kingdom would not be scribed and written down. Also, the Almighty mentions that people are asking for the time when the day of judgment is going to arrive. The fact of the matter is that this is something which the Almighty would not disclose to anyone. And, of course, not knowing the time of the arrival of the hereafter is no excuse for people to deny the occurrence of that event. There are many things which many people do not know, and yet they still believe that that reality is going to take place. We don't know what we are going to do tomorrow, and yet we believe that tomorrow is going to dawn upon us, and we're going to do deeds and acts one way or the other. Nobody knows where he or she is going to die, and yet death is a reality acknowledged by everyone. Similar is going to be the case with the Day of Judgment. Although we do not know when it's going to happen, yet happen it is going to be. It is going to take place. The next surah is Surah As-Sajda, which is a relatively shorter surah, which talks about all the important subjects which the earlier surahs have talked about, and mentions the fact that the Almighty created humans after having required them to go through a certain process which was meticulously designed. And humans are then required to acknowledge the fact that God has been kind in making them the way they have been made. Unfortunately, despite knowing all those details of what went through in order for human to be created, human beings are not inclined to be grateful and to be mindful of the messages of God. The Quran mentions in Surah As-Sajda that the people who really appreciate and value God Almighty's message, they are the ones who are God-fearing. They are the ones who get up early in the morning and do not sleep for long hours without any worries. They prostrate before the Almighty and they ask for his forgiveness, and they are always grateful to him. And the Almighty mentions that nobody knows how beautiful the world that they are going to enter into is going to be after they have gone through successfully the trial of this life. The Quran in Surah As-Sajda also mentions the fact that the Prophet, may Allah's mercy be on him, has come to this world and to the people like the earlier prophets. An example of Musa alayhi salam has been given, had come, and therefore people should have no doubt about the fact that the Quran is also the message of God. All these four surahs belong to the same group as the earlier four surahs did, and all of them are emphasizing the fact that Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's mercy be on him, was indeed the messenger of God, and that those who are denying him are actually denying a truth which is clear, which is well known, and well established. In Surah An-Kabut, there is a verse towards the very end which gives a very important piece of information to everybody who is seeking the truth. The Almighty says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, and indeed those who struggle in our way, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, we are most certainly going to guide them towards the paths that lead to us. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and indeed Allah is with those people who do good deeds in the best possible manner. It really is a verse which gives confidence to all humans who are striving for the truth to find out what the Almighty wants from them, who are looking for guidance. The Almighty says that if we prepare ourselves for getting guided properly and we do as best as is possible for us, then He'll make sure that we see guidance and we follow it, that we get the privilege of understanding what the truth is. In other words, what the Quran is saying is that to know the truth is not difficult. It is not something which is beyond us. The only thing, the only condition that we must satisfy in order for us to get guided is that we should struggle for it, we should struggle to achieve it to the best of our abilities. So that the Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, and those who struggle in our way, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ, most certainly we are going to guide them, سُبُلَنَا, towards the ways, towards the paths that lead to us. And Allah is indeed along with, in support of all those people who are prepared to go do good deeds in the best possible manner. The message is that if we start following the right path, the path of piety, and if we make sure that we are doing it as best as is possible for us, our intentions are good, our actions are as close to the ideal as is possible, as our circumstances permit, then God Almighty would make sure that such sincere people are given the light to witness, to experience the light of the truth, the light of guidance, and they follow it as much as could be possible for them. So that this world of trial is not an impossible world as far as the Quran is concerned. It is very much possible and within the reach of every human being. The only condition that the Almighty sets forth for us to accomplish, to satisfy, is the condition of sincerity. If we sincerely make an attempt to know and to follow the right path, the Almighty Himself promises that He is most certainly going to show us the way and to enable us to understand and to follow it properly. May Allah Almighty enable us to understand the Quran as best as is possible for us, and may He enable us to follow it to the best of our abilities.